ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, December 5th, 2019. And we got a very fascinating story for you this morning. The curious case of Bernio Verhagen, a story that's been making headlines around the world. And to talk about this story, coming out of Denmark this morning, joining us, he writes for Off the Pitch, a great article a few weeks ago on the City Football Group, but joining us to talk about this crazy story from Denmark, Henrik Luna. How you doing, Henrik, this morning?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good.
Henrik, good to talk to you. It seems like a long time ago that I tried to walk across Toronto and you rescued me by buying me a beer that turned into six. So that was a long time ago, Henrik, when you lived in Canada briefly. But tell the listeners that aren't familiar with this story, just give them the TLDR of it. Well, what is happening here?
Well, this is a bizarre case involving fraud, accusations of domestic violence and kidnapping, and a Dutch man claiming to be a professional footballer who seems to have tricked clubs in multiple countries.
It's just bizarre, because how do you trick? Obviously, there's a very serious component to this, and we don't want to dismiss this, but to keep it on a football level for now, how is it, Henrik, in your mind, that a Danish club, a professional club, can be tricked by someone that doesn't really have a professional background into offering him employment as a football player? How does that happen?
Well, as with many of the dodgy things here in the soccer world, it comes down to agents. As it stands right now, we don't know if it's him or someone he works with, but someone has been impersonating agents from the Stella Group, the real agency who has clients such as Gareth Bale. And someone has been impersonating them and then reaching out to Vibor, the club, and basically saying to them that if you sign this guy, then you need to sign this guy, then in the winter, then we need to pass him on to a Chinese club. And if you do that, then you'll earn some money and we'll help you get better players in the future. And they basically decided that that offer was too good to refuse, knowing that they'd never offer him any minutes.
This is not the first time that it happens, but this one is a quite public one and popular story. A false player that tried with many different clubs to get a contract, and then whatever story happens, sometimes they fake an injury and they can never play, or in this case they actually make it to training camp and then the teams are looking at the player and they're wondering what the heck did they do, because this man does not know how to play soccer. How do you, because this is not an isolated case, I'm sure there is a few more across the world right now, fake football players. Is it as simple as making sure you scout your players before you sign them and not only taking a player's agent's word?
Well, in this case, it's also a matter of doing a bit of research, because according to the fake agent, the club that they would move him on to was in the Chinese third division. And if you actually look up the rules of the Chinese third division, you're not allowed to have foreign players. So with the bare minimum of research, then you would have known that, okay, something's wrong here. But in modern soccer, China has become a synonym for easy money. And apparently, they didn't have to pay him a salary, which again makes it even weirder why also he was interested to be attached to the club. So there's a lot of still unanswered questions here. But if it seems like the club just sprung on it uncritically, and had they talked to just a few people in their network, they could have probably debunked it quite quickly.
Yeah, when a story seems too good to be true, usually, well, it is. It is not true. In this case, Stellar Group, you mentioned, it is a big agency in Europe for big footballers, but also cricket players, esport athletes, track and field athletes, and rugby athletes. And it's a big agency, but one of the best agent in the world of football with that agency. So the carrot at the end of the stick saying, look, if you work with us, if the impersonator we're talking here. So there's a few people involved for sure. Not only Bernie Verhagen, the player, which is he even Dutch? We don't know. That's the whole story. We have no idea. And that's the curious case for me. It is so weird. But to go back to this case, Henrik, I do feel like there's more to this. And I hope they turn this into a movie. But can you put the context of the club a bit more? Because a club with a scouting department, this would never happen. So can you tell us a bit more about Vinborg as a club?
Well, they were bigger in the 90s and the early 2000s. But since then, they've been a quite permanent fixture in the Danish second tier. Always quite ambitious and for a club in the second tier, well-resourced, but still in the Danish second tier, there's not so much a scouting department. There might be someone with the title of scout that might also be doing other things. And then there is the sporting director. And this guy, Jesper Fredberg, is actually quite well connected. He used to work both in Cyprus and in Greece. So again, it surprises me that a man who's worked in more prominent destinations than the one that he is right now wouldn't have the network to test off this incredible offer and to have validated the quality of it.
Henrik, I'm wondering what the reaction in Denmark has been to this case, particularly locally around this club. Are people angry at the club? Are people angry at the player? Do people think that there needs to be some kind of changes made to prevent this from happening in the future?
Basically, the club is considered a laughingstock. Mm-hmm. And I think also there hasn't really been much talk about, like, regulation or anything, because, and I think that just the sheer ridicule involved in this case is punishment enough. But also on a professional note, I would fear if, in the case of the club that it does tarnish their reputation as a valid negotiation partner when it comes to trading players.
Yeah, I would wonder that as well. All right, this is a bizarre case that has some dark undersides to it. So if you want to learn more, folks, I encourage you to go out there and read this. But let's turn our attention to more positive stuff. And you obviously based there. Tell us a little bit about the Danish season so far. What have the stories been in the Danish league this year, the Superliga?
Well, first of all, it's been FC Copenhagen hasn't been as strong as people expected. They made quite a few big signings over the past transfer windows, but none of them have really panned out this fall. So instead, we're seeing FC Midtjylland, who are partnered with Brentford in the championship, who are doing really well. That's also the club of Mantrikar James, a Canadian national team player. And though in this season, he's only had, I think, two games in the league and one in the cup. So, but it's also a quite strong defense for him. So there's still chances that he, if they sell some players in the next two transfer windows, that he might get a chance. Because while he has been in Denmark, he has gotten quite good reviews.
Henrik, before we say goodbye for today, where can the listeners find your work?
It's primarily on offthepitch.com, but always also check my my Twitter account. That's HENRIKLONNE, Henrik Lenne. And there I'll always keep my work posted.
Thank you very much for your time today and for your insight in this very weird story this morning. And hopefully next time we talk is for a bit more positive reasons than a fraudster in the world of football. Thank you, Henrik, for your time today.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
And we'll be right back after this short break.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. Before we continue, make sure you take advantage of our special offer until tomorrow only. Every $5 member of our Patreon page will get access to the ESPN documentary, which we are working on behind the scenes right now. I'm actually doing a lot of research over the last couple of weeks on the 2000 Gold Cup. First documentary will be out before Christmas, probably on the 23rd, to give you something to listen to for the ESPN documentary tier, which will be talking about the 2000 Gold Cup, and that will be a great time. But until tomorrow, every $5 tier member will get access to the $10 tier for 6 months. Quite an opportunity here for you to get your money's worth. And even the $2 tier this week, Tristan Borges was on the show 2 days ago, so make sure you listen to our premium podcast feed available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Before we go forward, Dwayne, I want to talk about Bergno a little more. This story is quite, in French we would say rocambolesque. This is quite an epic weird story.
Yeah, you know, again, for a third time, I'll say that there's an accusation of kidnapping involved in here as well, that obviously goes on the criminal side of things. But from a purely football perspective, it's like Henrik said, laughingstock is the only way to describe this. This is tarnishing this club's reputation in every way. If you're a player or a player agent, would you want to deal with these guys? It also just seems like extortion, right? Like they're saying, oh, if you want to get players from us in the future, you've got to do this for us now. Like, that's just plain illegal behavior.
The amount of red flags in the entire dealing, for me, are surprising in the fact that no one acted on them before. You know, this is not the normal procedure. Like Henrik said, the sporting director actually has experience. So you know this is not how it's done, or is it? So that's the question. Could this be more widespread than we think? And can, you know, players that can barely cut it, if you wrap it correctly and if you add the right amount of things and you always, like, mention, oh, yeah, he's just coming off an injury, so he might not be at his top shape for a few months. So, I don't know. I think this might be more widespread in the world of football than we think. I think there's maybe a couple per league around the world, at least second tier, third tier league around the world that could be the case.
I mean, look, there are some folks in this city to this day that believe that in TFC circles, there's an infamous signing of a pair of quote-unquote the Gambians. If you're a longtime TFC observer, you'll know who the Gambians are, and there's some suggestion that maybe there were some favors being played out there. So yes, this is not unique to here, but this is a particularly extreme example of the possibility of players being moved as favors, and it speaks on an overall level to the power that agents have in this game. Oh, yeah. It's, I think, something that, because the world is so vast, I mean, look, we're used to in this country and the countries that listen to this to, you know, if we're an NFL fan, you know, it's pretty easy to scout. You send some, you know, some people out to watch college football, right? Well,
also, there's so many players there. Some of them, it's like, it's not that hard, but anyways.
Yeah. Well, or if you're a hockey fan in Canada, you send scouts out to watch junior hockey and you pick from there. And that's basically, you know where the best players in the world are. They're all pooled together. Football is not like that. As we all know, you find world-class players everywhere. And to have a scouting network that is able to do that, you require massive resources and massive amount of contacts around the world, and you have to rely on people that you trust. So agents play this role, and if you find an agent that has delivered for you in the past, then you're going to continue to go back to them. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it can be bad when it's used this. But again, like, this is illegal behavior. This guy's like, it's fraud. It's what it is,
exactly.
Right?
So it's you know, remember the movie Catch Me If You Can?
Yes.
With Leo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, where
it's one of my favorite movies. Yes.
Frank, I remember Frank Abagnale Jr. is the name. Wow, I actually pulled that out of my ass. Frank Abagnale Jr. this is exactly what type of things it is. I hope they make a movie. Catch Me If You Can, Part Deux. This time it's about football, and you have Bernie Overhagen making its way to Chile for Ajax Italiano. And for Cape Town City FC, which they never heard of him before, but apparently he did. There's a couple of... Okay, so if you really want to have fun, Google it. Google it in news and make sure you're geolocated in Denmark. There's a ton of articles. Use Google Translate. He actually gave interviews. He's saying in his interviews, Dwayne, it's a shame. No one seems to remember me. I don't know why. I'm a victim here. Oh, man, this story has more layers than you think. And on top of it, when you think it's all over, there's kidnapping involved with his girlfriend and abuse, physical abuse, allegedly there. And he was arrested. So, yeah, this is a CSI, I guess, CSI Denmark episode waiting to happen.
Yeah, and look, there have been examples of similar before that. I'm trying to understand what the end game here was in this. I mean, most
to make money,
has,
but I guess his goal was to build this transfer market page, to build this portfolio, to eventually get an actual contract for $100,000. Seems a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, there was a player, a Brazilian player, that did similar in the lower Brazilian leagues. It kind of went team to team to team. His goal was, and Football Ramble's done a good job over the years of talking about this particular case. It's around a couple of places, but he did a good job of like, he just wanted to live the lifestyle, is what that guy did. So he'd go and he'd train for 3 months, and then they'd realize that they were scammed and they'd let him go, and he'd go somewhere else and do the same thing. And he was living the life as a professional footballer, you know, albeit at a low level. But this seems like there was something more serious happening here. But nonetheless, it's an interesting story to look at, and an interesting story that puts a lot of the workings of the game, you know, in view for us to discuss. And a good topic for a December day on Soccer Today.
So next time you watch, if you're a USL fan in League 2 or League 1, and you have a player that seems kind of shady coming from a place of the world where it's hard to get statistics and to get confirmed employment and transfer certificate and stuff, and you look at him and like, seems to not know how to play, maybe you have a Bernie Overhagen on your hands.
Well, and look, I mean, you could probably get away, this sounds like this guy was so bad that it was obvious, right? Like,
but
if you're just a general level guy, there's guys I could probably go down and that are playing in pub leagues that you could probably fake it for a little while, like, especially if you said you had an injury or something. But
that's,
yeah,
the best thing. That's what I was thinking. Okay, Dwayne, so imagine, okay, imagine we would try to do this with me. Okay, so imagine you use your writing talents, you write a couple of great articles that we're trying to find a way to post on a website post dated for a few years ago. Photoshop a great pictures of me making a couple of great saves. I'm a goalkeeper, of course. You trying to slim me down just a little so it looks kind of convincing. Doesn't have to be too bad. I'm still a goalkeeper. And we pad some statistics and we write an article about a terrible injury that was almost career-ending that I suffered, that I'm actually coming back from, and you're asking a club to give you a chance. Come on. Someone's going to bite. We can do this.
Yeah, perhaps. It's dodgy is what it is, but something, as I said, it really, the serious undertone is how a system that is so unregulated can be manipulated, and that's what we're seeing here. But yeah, wow, it certainly jumped out at me this morning when I saw it there, and when Henrik was available,
who's a guy that we know on this show and have had before. Thought it was a good opportunity to have a little chat about it, Kevin. But yeah, not much more to say today. But,
but you know, the beauty of having a daily show is that you never know what's going to come in your hands. And at 11:09 this morning, Major League Soccer sent in my inbox the home opener schedule for 2020 season, and it does indeed start on February. We knew it was going to happen. February 29th, DC United versus the Colorado Rapids at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Audi Field. Then the Montreal Impact versus the New England Revolution at the Olympic Stadium. Houston Dynamo, LA Galaxy, 3:30 p.m. in Houston. Earthquakes, TFC. TFC plays Earthquakes on Saturday 29th on the road. And then we're Vancouver, so Vancouver Whitecaps, a team that we like to cover here, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Pacific, hosting the Kansas City team, Sporting at BC Place. So this will be their home opener. If you want to know specifically when Toronto will play their first game, it will be March 7th at BMO Field versus NYCFC. A couple of big home opener of note. Seattle Sounders, defending champions, will start their season at home on March 1st versus the newly branded Chicago Fire FC. Again, the defending champion, the Seattle Sounders. Orlando with Oscar Pereira will have their first game on February 29th versus RSL. So the same colors as Chicago, but not Chicago. We're going to have to be careful. I hope the jerseys are different because it could be very confusing when they face each other. But I do think that it's interesting to have, again, take a shot. You should have a drinking game. Every time I say interesting, you should take a shot. You would get smashed during this show. But Montreal Impact on February 29th at home, Vancouver as well, and Toronto FC on March 7th versus NYCFC.
Yeah, there's a few, I mean, it's a schedule announcement, so it's there's only so far you can take this, although this year's full schedule will have a bit more of an interesting scoop to it, and we'll see what teams aren't playing other teams. But in terms of the home openers, there's the two news pieces that I take out of this are these. First off, there was suggestion that when they moved the playoffs up, so, you know, to put this in perspective, this would be MLS Cup week right now, last year. And we're, you know, almost a month away past the finals this time. So having done that, they thought that they were going to move the season up a little bit. They have not. This is starting on the same weekend it did last year. So that means that the offseason is still very long. And Mark DeSantos had some comments last week that he got fined for, saying that was a problem. And you know, weather is an issue. Right, so it is what it is. But
That's the thing. There's only so much you can do. Like, if you look at the games, okay, Columbus and look at the games on the 29th. DC United, Colorado. DC should be fine. It might be cold, but snow wise, they might be okay. Montreal, New England. It's going to be indoors at the Olympic Stadium, so that's fine. Vancouver's, it's indoor. And the rest, we're looking at Houston, San Jose, Dallas, Orlando, Nashville. They'll be fine. It's warm over there in late February. So those are the games. And we're going to see either Montreal Impact always play in the Olympic Stadium for a couple weeks, or they're going to play on the road. Same for TFC. March 7th is kind of all right for TFC if you think about it, because of the weathered pitch. But for the fans, it's going to be quite a cold day at the office. And yeah, for the players, too.
So I was going to say that's the latest start TFC's had at home in the last 3 years, but that's been CCL related for the most part. Early March is not great. It's not unlivable though. It's for those outside. I know if you right now, there's a friend from Los Angeles we've been hanging out with, and she's finding the weather here pretty bad. So we're finding it pretty mild. So that tells you the perspective matters in terms of reality. Early March is fine. It's particularly for the players. BMO has been winterized, so you know it's warmer at pitch level too. So even if it's around 0 degrees here in the stands, it'd still be a little above zero on the pitch. So it's not that dangerous, but. The other piece of news that I did see this, and it's not really news, it's just a confirmation of something that hadn't been confirmed to now, is that they're Big O. The Big O is still in play. And that's
There's going to be two games at the Big O, apparently, because there's been a package that was put to sale by the Impact. Then you have two games at the Big O. You have one game of the Champions League at the Big O, in one game of the regular season. So the March, the February 29th game and the game 2 weeks before that, probably. And we'll have the draw is December 9th, by the way, for the CONCACAF Champions League. If you're wondering who the Impact is going to play or any other Major League Soccer team, that draw is on December 9th. So next week, we'll, of course, talk about the CONCACAF Champions League and look at the potential matchup before the draw and everything. We know. Well, yeah. We know. The other couple of news that I thought was interesting here is the home openers of the two new expansion team. 8 p.m. on February 29th, Nashville will face Atlanta. And we knew it would be the case, those two teams, because they're kind of like close, regionally speaking, and kind of like rivals.
They announced it as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Miami will play their first game in Fort Lauderdale, of course, on March 14th, Inter Miami CF versus, are they really going with Calcio, what's CS for? What's the CF for?
It's probably, you know, maybe it's like TFC, and the FC doesn't actually stand for football club. It's literally FC on the copyright. It could be that. Who knows? This is
club MLS. Football. So Inter Miami club football versus the Galaxy at Inter Miami CF Stadium in Fort Lauderdale. And this, the building of the stadium has just started. They got about 4 months to get it done, almost to the day. We'll see when it happens. But that pretty much sums it up for the home openers. And you can find more detail, of course, on MLSsoccer.com.
Yeah, and look, I know everyone gets so excited by these announcements because it's been a while at this point. But if you know, it doesn't seem that long to me because I'm in Toronto and we played to the end in Toronto. But that not most teams are. I've been out for a while.
Of course, you went there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, or Seattle would see the, if you've gone deep in the playoffs. And this is any year, right? Like, I'm in Toronto. I know exactly what it feels like to have some of these announcements coming out after what seems like years since they last played. And yeah, so it's the tidbits start to come in, and you know, we saw the Rancher draft on Monday, and some more trades are coming here. You know, we got the CBA coming down to talk about, but in the days ahead, which hasn't really kicked off a lot, but having these dates there does really give that CBA negotiations more focus because, you know, they can play start the season without an agreement in place. They simply play off a previous year's agreement.
Well, just to make sure that the CONCACAF Champions League is not too affected, basically, but can decide to walk out or to strike. It would be the more proper term at any point after a certain cutoff date. Also,
or be locked out. The owners can also lock out. I mean,
it could also happen.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I was just going to say a quick labor lesson. The reason the owners would want to lock out is because if the players start the season, some of the power dynamic switches to the players because yes, they can just pull the plug on the season. And that's you saw that with baseball back in 94.
And that's leverage at the negotiation table if you decided when it stopped. And if you just have the Damocles sword over the head of the owners of not controlling if it's going to happen or not, and you might want to decide if it happens or not. You'd be like, you know what, you're not sure if we're going to play or not. We're going to decide we're not going to play, and we can negotiate on our terms now. So yeah, it's kind of like the power dynamic 101 here.
And since 94, in most professional sports disputes, the owners have been the players that have pulled the plug on the season before the players have. It has been lockouts consistently since the baseball strike of 94, and that's exactly why, because the baseball players held the World Series over the owner's hands. You want the World Series to happen, you need to work with us, and the owner, you know, they played chicken and lost, unfortunately for Montreal.
Let's not go there.
Baseball at that time, but
I'm having a good morning. Let's not go there. But yeah, before we say goodbye for today, Dwayne, we're going to talk about it on, I believe, on a special show that we'll see if it's for patrons or not. But make sure you follow us on social media at Soccer Today SBN. We'll talk about the Mexican Liga MX Liguilla, the semifinals of their Apertura playoffs, continues today. Yesterday, Monterrey beat Necaxa 2-1. In Monterrey for the Rayados, and Monarcas is playing Club America tonight at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll have Tom Marshall talking to us after the game, and you can find more details on the website later on. But it's almost over in Mexico for the Apertura. It kind of looks, we'll see, it's a two-legged semifinal, so the semifinal second leg will happen this weekend. It's a quick affair, Liguilla in Mexico, but it looks like it will possibly be Monterrey and Club America in the Apertura finals if it goes chalk.
Yeah, well, or chalk by history. Based on the seeding from the season that just passed, it wouldn't actually be chalk. Monterrey, in fact, was the eighth seed in the playoffs. But yeah, we are going to interview Tom tonight after the games and about those games, also about some changes in the Mexican rules that is going to make it more difficult for foreign players to play in the Gimnexi, which is an interesting development there. So, you know, as Kevin says, we haven't decided where we're going to place that interview yet. It might be the main interview tomorrow. It might be as a sports broadcasting network presents. So we'll see. But certainly let us know if Mexican League is something you want to see more coverage of. We can work on that if that is a desire. It's all these areas we're trying to explore to see where we can take this for the benefit of you, the listener. It's what you want, not what we want. You know, if I wanted to do my show, I'd just talk about, Pablo Zabaleta's greatest goals for an hour and a half, which is only like 20 of them, so it wouldn't take that long. But
it's a short miniseries. Yeah. I thought you were going to have a Doctor Who podcast or maybe a British food special show podcast where you eat curry fries.
Well, baked chips and curry fries, yeah. Baked chowders, I should say, and curry fries. That'd be a good show, too.
Yeah, now I'm hungry once again. Well, it's almost lunchtime, so maybe that's the reason why I'm hungry. On that note, make sure you follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. Make sure you take advantage of this special offer until tomorrow. Patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, one show a week. And this week, Tristan Borges of Forge FC joins us to talk about the beautiful game in Hamilton, his exploits this year, and also his championship run with Forge FC on the SPN Extra tier. You'll find Five Rings Extra, where Dwayne and I have a miniseries going on the 1976 Olympics. You'll find breaking news audio and more premium podcasts on the $5 Extra tier. And if you sign all the way to tomorrow, so you have 24 hours left, if you sign up for the $5 tier, you get the $10 tier, sorry, for 6 months included in your pledge. And the documentary tier will start just before Christmas with a documentary on the 2000 Gold Cup. Great interviews and also a great game reports on weird happenings in the lead up to the Gold Cup, also in 2000. A great tournament, and we'll talk about it more on the documentary tier before Christmas. But on that note, until tomorrow, as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Laramie. Have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.